Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is from Genesis 3, read to you just a few moments ago. Bear with me. You all heard these words as a child, and some of you have even read them to your children. It begins, "Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them." Really? The point of the rhyme is that Bo Peep was so irresponsible that she fell asleep and her sheep wandered off. And of course, when she awoke, she couldn't find them. But she just assumed or anticipated that somehow, some way, they'd all magically find their way back home again. A word for wise future shepherds, it doesn't work that way. This isn't good pastoral practice. If Bo Peep really cared about the sheep, wouldn't she have left even 99 of them out in the wilderness and gone looking for them until she found them? Today's text is the account of the awful day when Adam and Eve were lost. Lost in the Garden of Eden. Would have been lost forever. But God in his mercy and grace went looking for them. And the sound of his voice must have echoed through the garden that day, because it echoes through the centuries to us this morning. Where are you? Genesis 2 ends with those interesting words, "The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." But Genesis 3 begins, "The serpent was more crafty." And you know the strategy that he used on naive Eve, because he's used the same strategy on you. He began by questioning God's word. Did God actually say? And once she was willing to consider that God's word may not actually be true, once she was willing to question God's word, she was easy prey. Satan then contradicted God's word, "You will not surely die." And under his breath, he must have continued, "At least not immediately." Then he made a new promise. He accused God of holding out on her and said, "Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so she listened to his lie and she took another look at the fruit and saw how pleasing it really was. And she took some and she claimed by her pride, the right to be like God. It's no fun to sin alone. And so she gave some to Adam and he ate. And then, just as Satan had promised, their eyes were opened. And they saw themselves for the first time. They became self-conscious and realized that they were naked. And now they were ashamed. And so they sewed fig leaves together to cover up what they had done. Their eyes were opened, and now they knew good and evil. Before, they had only known good, but now the good was gone, and evil controlled them. What our first parents did in the garden that day wasn't an innocent little prank of swiping an apple. When they ate of the forbidden fruit, it was a desire to be like God. It was disobedience to God's word. They set themselves against God's will. They set themselves as enemies of God. That's what sin is, and all the leaves in the garden couldn't possibly cover it up. Now, they'd likely heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden many times prior to this, and every other time they had run out to meet him with open arms. But this time was different. This time they ran away from God and they hid. But the Lord God wouldn't leave them alone. He went looking for them, and he called out to Adam, "Where are you?" You think God didn't see? You think he didn't know? An old rabbi said, it wasn't that God didn't know where they were. It was Adam and Eve who no longer knew where they were. God called to them, "Where are you?" to call them to account for their sin and to give them the opportunity to confess what they had done. But instead of confessing, Adam crawled out of the bushes, clothed in fig leaves, blushing in shame, unable to look to God, saying simply, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Everything he said from that point on just further incriminated himself. They hid because they were afraid of God. They'd heard him before. They hadn't been afraid. They'd been naked before, and they hadn't been ashamed. Why was it different this time? It was different because they'd sinned. They hid, foolishly thinking that they could somehow avoid the shame, protect themselves from God's wrath and punishment. They were lost. But God just kept pursuing them. He asked, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" See, Adam still wasn't ready to confess. Sinners hate to confess, you know. Instead, he did what we all do. He tried to pin the blame on someone else. "The woman you put here, she gave me the fruit and I ate. God, it's not my fault. It's her fault, and technically it's your fault because you've put her here in the first place." Eve wasn't going to take the rap. She continued, "The serpent deceived me and I ate. The devil made me do it." They were looking for some way to cover their sin and escape God's wrath, but they were trying to do it their own way, and their way just wasn't working. So the Lord God, in his grace, revealed to them his way. It began with the curse of the serpent. "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Enmity, conflict between Eve and Satan. She had considered him a friend. She believed Satan's promise, his lie. If God had left them alone, Eve and all of her offspring after her would have followed the serpent, would have been lost forever. This enmity would reach its conclusion in one of Eve's descendants. God threatened the serpent, "He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." I get it, Hebrew profs, you may have a problem with the translation, but the point is the enmity, the conflict, the strife between Satan and Jesus. That battle would continue to rage throughout our Savior's earthly life. We heard yesterday, and we'll hear again this Sunday, about the time when Satan tempted Jesus. It wasn't a one-time deal. Satan kept coming back, challenging, opposing. And on this cross, he struck. He sunk his fangs. He injected his deadly venom. But his wrath was futile, for Jesus crushed the serpent's head, conquered him, triumphed over him once and for all on that first beautiful Easter morning. Adam and Eve were the first to hear the promise of a Savior. They were the first to know of God's unrelenting love for them. He called out, "Where are you?" because he wasn't about to leave them alone, hoping that they would come home. He would send his son to seek and to save the lost. Where are you? The word of God rings out this morning, and we might respond by saying, well, we're at Concordia Seminary. We're the good guys. We're in chapel this morning. We're safe, right? That would be naive of us. We need to recognize that we're in the midst of a battlefield and that Satan still slithers among us. He's deceived us time and again. We've fallen for his strategy. We've thought and said and done things for which we need to be ashamed. You think God hasn't seen? You think God doesn't know? But he comes this morning pursuing us with his grace. Every time we gather together in this place, he's looking for us. He calls out to us, "Where are you?" to give us the opportunity to confront our sin and to confess it before him. So where are you this morning? Still holding on to your lame excuses? Still trying to pin the blame on someone else? Still wearing your fig leaves to cover and conceal what you've done? Still blushing in shame, afraid of God and his anger? Still refusing to confess? Still lost? Where are you? God comes looking for you this morning, calling you to account for your sin, calling you once again to confess, because he wants you to hear the gospel, the promise of Jesus your Savior, of his unrelenting love for you, of the forgiveness of all your sins, of his victory over the devil and over your sin and over death. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." So where are you this morning? In Lent, standing beneath a cross, covered in the precious blood of Jesus, forgiven your trespasses, and delivered from evil. Where are you? Exactly where God wants you to be. In Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.